links to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Russ Dizdar is our guest. ShatterTheDarkness.net, that's his website. He's got quite a team of volunteer investigators. These are people who volunteer their time, their effort, their gas money, their blood, sweat, and tears to go out and to do what others won't, can't, or just, I'll tell you something, Russ and his team have our respect, tremendous respect, because they are making a difference. They're on the front lines. They're freeing, people in bondage, spiritual bondage, physical bondage, and it's just an amazing thing to see. And we're just so glad to have Russ with us. Before we get back to him, I want to ask everyone, have you gotten to read T.C. Joseph's This Generation series of novels yet? Have you read? Oh my goodness, if you haven't, do so. Go to thisgenerationseries.com or that's the best place, I think, to get a feeling for T.C. Joseph's work. He's an extremely talented writer. He's written three novels. His book one is Precipice, book two is Pentecost, and book three is Penance. All three books take you into the lives of three families in a world where conspiracy theories and Bible prophecies collide. And I've got to tell you, it's almost like watching or experiencing one of the most relevant movies or topics of the day. Blue Ink, Kirkus, great, outstanding reviews. T.C. Joseph is a talented writer. The storylines are fantastic. And you know something, even if you are not, let's say if you're not a fan of biblical prophetic fiction, these books can be given to others as a tool to awaken the masses. T.C. Joseph, thisgenerationseries.com. Fantastic series of novels. Fantastic writer. We like him. Again, thisgenerationseries.com. T.C. Joseph, This Generation series of novels. Our guest is Russ Dizdar.
Yeah, Russ Dizdar's website, ChatterTheDarkness.net. His book, The Black Awakening. We covered a lot of ground in the first hour, Russ. I don't know if you had somewhere specific that we should start in this hour, but I do have a question. And I'm not sure how much of the Pizzagate investigation that you've been looking into, but based on what you know, is there an area that a lot of people are focusing on that we shouldn't, or is there something we're not focusing on, most importantly, that we should be?
Evidence-wise.
Yeah.
Okay, well, one thing I'll say is when it comes to the pedophile thing and the satanic side of it, the moment they're compromised, everything's moved. Everything's withdrawn. Everything's taken. You know, the goal, first of all, and I was going to say this earlier, and I mentioned it early on, the reasons why investigators, and some will not agree with this, but this is where I'm going to stand, they can't get to all of this. Franklin cover up, you know, and all that and everything. And like the Dahmer, they didn't go further with it. I believe there is a mafia drug lord level of secrecy. I mean, real cover, you know, secrecy to cover them. That's I call it physical secrecy. The crimes, to cover up the crimes. On the other side, I believe, like Ezekiel chapter 8, there is a supernatural. They have rituals that draw powers. They call it to obtain the powers of invisibility. Now, there's going to be a lot of people that don't believe that. I do believe that they do that. And they have rituals that will cover them and cloak them and keep them hidden. And that's why they summon demons to send it against. They have specific rituals to go against law enforcement, to blind them, get them off the track. Now, see, I believe there's a supernatural component that people can be diverted, shut down. There's a supernatural side to this. So biblically, Ezekiel chapter 8, God had to open a supernatural hole to get Ezekiel down in there to see what was really physically going on, the abominations. Anybody can read that in Ezekiel chapter 8. So that's what we've seen. We've learned that as we target in prayer and pray hard and target the individuals, we've found out that we're finding more things. We're finding more victims. We're digging up bones and bringing them back to the university. So we're finding more that way. That's important. So I would say another thing is this, is that, again, when it comes to these cases, you got to also think in terms of there's collective cover-up. the perpetrators were all, they're all going to stand for each other. They're all going to cover up for each other. Like, for example, Sandusky. Do you think it was only him?
Oh, no.
Does anybody think it was just him alone? Did anybody else get put in prison? That's going to be true with a number of cases. That we've seen over the years too. So when you look at the Pizzagate, when you look at that whole, you know, almost like frankly cover up, you know, type thing, the element is going to be the thing that's going to be, you know, all law enforcement wants is evidence. They want evidential issues. But they may not go down the road of symbolism. They may not go down the road of, well, just one kid said something, or another kid had blood in his panties, or, you know, those kind of things. So we constantly pray for uncontested evidence. We think that there should be, you know, in cooperation of evidence. I think that on the Pizzagate thing, here's what I would suggest. Hundreds of individuals dedicate prayer for a breakthrough of exposure and a finding of real evidence and a location of witnesses. Here's why I'm saying that. Or the abuse. If they were using, if there's a satanic element and they were, and satanic ritual abuse or satanic stuff was used in the middle of this, the kids involved will have a level of mind control. Like if they're split, the personalities are down. If you talk just to a kid, you've got a whole nother world then. Feds, they ask me, how do you interrogate that? How do you interrogate that? If the upfront person didn't do it, but a subpersonality did that we deal with all the time, when you have children that are under that kind of micro, it was almost like being hypnotized and they're told they don't feel nothing and so it's all buried. And even if they find two or three kids and the kids say, I don't know what happened, nothing happened to me, that's difficulty.
Okay.
Huge.
And if we can, you were talking about the use of black magic to shield, these people use it to shield themselves from prying eyes, from investigators, law enforcement. Is that always effective? And you said, you know, that's something that, and I believe in it too. I believe that it's very real and I believe it does have effects in the real world. But I guess my question would be comparing it to what we saw with the, you know, witches marching against Trump and the what they say, white magic they were doing. You know, when we see obviously these people who are very evil who've done this and who've been trained to do this, they have some level of effectiveness because, as you said, you know, from Sandusky, we know he was taking boys to large donors and taking them on trips and whatnot. We know that there was other people involved. I mean, just his son, the fact that his son was arrested just this year. For the same thing, says all that needs to say. So, but there, we can tell that there's the spiritual forces of darkness do have some effect in shielding these people. But how do these black magic rituals, how effective are they when we see something like the mass, black mass against Trump?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. We got a whole page of questions about that.
Yeah. Well, the ones that are doing, here's what I tell everybody, what you see above ground is, even though we know it's big and it's, you know, ugly, I want to tell you this. Underground is where the real blood and guts, the real powers are. And that they don't want to be seen. They don't want to come above ground. So that doesn't mean the ones above ground, like when I read the rituals that they're using, the summoning of demons, using his picture, that's similar to the underground. But is it real? Yes. Do they really summon demons? Yes. No, do all of them do that? No. Let me just bring in the Satanic Temple, the guy from Harvard, Lucian is a fake name. And they've grown really big from three people now. They've grown across the nation. The truth is, we've heard of fake news. Well, let's just put it out there. The Satanic Temple is fake Satanism. The real Satanists don't even believe in them. Here's why I'm saying that. The Church of Satan under Anton LaVey, the Satanic Bible, and all the rest of that, they kind of came out and said, we don't really believe there's a real Satan. We just follow satanic principles, the nine statements. And yet there's many among them that do rituals. So I always ask the question, well, then why do there, if there's no demons, if there's no real supernatural entities, why do the Enochian chant? Why do the death ritual, the sex ritual? Why do the rituals? Who are you summoning? Who are you engaged with? So I would say with the Satanic Temple, their success has been to, target media, get in the face, do something sensational, but they declare they don't believe in any supernatural entity. So I want to ask them, well, then why do you do the rituals? There's only one answer to that. It's hate speech. A black mass is an attack on Catholicism, number one, and secondly, an attack on Christianity as a whole. To do a black mass, I've got the actual French version of the black mass. And to do the black mass does involve a naked girl, does involve sacrifice of a baby. Now they've sanitized it. They've made it a little bit cleaner. They're doing a black mass, which is primarily allowed in your face. We're going to be obnoxious. We're going to be scary. We're going to be hedonistic. But they say very bluntly, they don't believe in any powers. So it's like, wow, you're expending all this energy and all this stuff, and there's no demons and there's no Satan to help you. The real Satanists laugh at that and look at them as just, you know, fake. But do they do hate speech? I mean, think in terms of them, someone going out and carving a crescent moon and taking objects of mosques and symbolism of mosques and bloodying them and doing them in a big mocking, degrading ritual. Will that bring an outcry? You better believe it. So the Satanic Temple is a hate group, hate speech. They're doing things that demonstrate a real... If you want to talk about hate speech, they're doing a major attack primarily on Catholicism. That's why the Catholics are really mad about it. But their power is in the political world. They're doing it to draw people in so they can get them in a battle in the lawn, you know, in like, let's get rid of manger scenes. That's their goal. They want to get rid of manger scenes. They want to get rid of Merry Christmas. You know, that's what they're about. That's what they're spending their life on. So they're not the real supernatural stuff. The real supernatural stuff's a little bit below the surface of the deep, and there's plenty of them.
Okay. Russ, one last question about this. Because this is something I saw other people talking about, and I was kind of unsure of this. Is it possible for people performing these black magic rituals, especially the ones out in the open, the political ones that we've just seen, is it possible for that to backfire against these people?
Well, I think what happened with the witches and warlocks and Crowlinians and everybody else, I think what they began to put out there, I noticed on my little Facebook page, thousands of folks there, but... what happened was thousands of Christians joined, and they targeted, we sent stuff out about how to target it, they targeted prayers against that. And here's what I'll say. Dark powers being summoned and manifesting can have effect and be problematic if it goes uncontested. If believers rise up and target it in prayer and pray it down, That's the power of the real body of Christ. That's what thousands of believers can really do. We pray to advance the cause of Christ, but let's now take our authority. Let's target those summoning demons. And I'll give you one example. A real high-powered, right out of your city, a real high-powered Satanist brought in by a law enforcement agent probably 20-some years ago. Talked about all the stuff they're doing, all the rituals. So what I did is I took a piece of paper, wrote down all the information, and for 3 weeks, I thundered prayers, asked God to give me insight, prayed against it. 3 weeks later, they show up again by this law enforcement guy. They get out of the cars yelling at me. They said, what did you do this? Did you do your satanic or did you do your spiritual warfare stuff against us? And I just smiled and I just said, why? Here's what they said. We could hardly get one spirit to show up in 3 weeks. For 3 weeks... On that, all that information, we just targeted and we prayed against it and prayed against it and prayed against it. So that's the incredible good news. God is at work. There's power in prayer. We can pray against radical evil. We can pray for the advancement of the cause of Christ. And we can also target where they're doing these things. And I think nationwide, it outraged a lot of believers. They come up and said, okay, we're in the name of Jesus, we're going to pray against this. And rightly so.
Fantastic. It's good to know that.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, you know, we've kind of dominated, the first, well, up until now with our questions and shaping the interview. But Russ, as you look over this landscape right now of the nation, of the world, where do you want to, take it where you want to go? What's on your heart? What do you think is important that we need to focus upon, given the landscape, given the conditions, given the depravity and everything that we're seeing right now? I'm just gonna, you know, just let you go ahead and, you know, go.
Sure. Let me mention two things, and again, just in interjecting any time. One would be, in the study of prophecy, which I'm doing a lot of stuff on now, the book of Revelation, we're gonna do more of it later. You know, I'm really, you know, biblical prophecy is massive and it's huge. There's clarity there, to tell us, and that's why I'm saying study it well, study it deep, study it good, because it gives you the picture of why everything's accelerating, why everything's getting crazier, why everything's getting darker. It's telling us why there's more stories of demonized people, people eating faces, Slenderman 12-year-old girls trying to kill another little girl, drug lords using demon powers to advance their cause. So when you look at prophecy, it's God's, I mean, that's where I get my intelligence analysis. I analyze, number one, everything going around me in light of the advanced intel that God gives in prophecy. I can read 1,000 books. We can engage on the ground, and I can learn a lot down there. But I'm telling you, the biblical prophetic side, read and understood systematically, will give massive insight, light up our eyes to, on the one hand, the rise locally and globally and what we're expecting to come. Second, it will, I think, help strengthen the believer with confidence, knowing that, hey, this is all occurring, but here's what God said he's going to do. Truly, God has an indestructible gospel, indestructible mission. Christ is coming. He truly is. So this propels me to reach everybody we can and get out there and do ministry. Now, in light of that, I will tell everybody, if you're going to do ministry, if you're going to do evangelism, if you're going to reach out to people, you're going to find more demonized people, more hurting people, those two categories, more than ever before. You're going to find more hurting people and demonized people without question if you get involved in evangelism. And in that context, you will find more and more arrogant, stand in your face, I've got my powers, you know, I'll do this and summon this demon, I'll do this ritual, I'll do this thing against you. When we were in Salem, Massachusetts, there's arrogance against Christianity. There's a lot of witches, warlocks, Satanists, others in different varieties. They look at general Christianity and see weakness, and they're predator. They do rituals against the church. They laugh at Christians. They do little spells at work. They do things that they know are real that Christians who are not taught and don't understand can't defend themselves or respond to. So those three elements you're going to find in reaching out, you're going to find more and more demonized individuals, more and more abused people, and more arrogant individuals that will be shockingly at times in your face with, we've got our powers and we got our abilities and we challenge you, that kind of thing. They're going to be wizards and warlocks and those kind of people with powers that will begin to come into churches and stand there and want to release powers or speak in demon languages and really challenge a church. And they're going to think it's funny when half the church goes running, clearing it out. They're that arrogant right now. They're growing in their arrogance. And I'm going to say on a human level, I'm going to tell you that's going to start happening. I mean, we know stories, but it's going to happen. It's going to be in the public eye. It's going to be in the public eye. We're going to see that happen.
Is that referencing your book, The Black Awakening? Would that be Black Awakening Light, I suppose?
It's precursors. I think when I say Black Awakening, and again, I took that from that's their term, the underground, in relationship to the Red Horse prophecy in Revelation. There's a prophecy where God says, and again, I believe White Horse involves the Antichrist, once there's a release, and when he's first released, he has to do some political things first. So when there's a release, the next thing that happens instantly occurs is a global, an absolutely whole earth global anarchy where people, if you read Revelation 6, the Red Horse, all of a sudden it causes people to begin to kill one another. Now the Greek word is svadzo, different than the pale horse in reference to war. Svadzo is used of animal ritual sacrifice. I believe the Red Horse prophecy is a prediction of the coming chaos that's going to help bring slaughter and anarchy. And nobody has to call me, because the grid will probably go down. I mean, think in terms, you got to think in terms, that's the prophecy. What does it say? The whole earth, not just the United States. And we already know the underground story. That's what the book's about, telling what we've learned. There's going to be real boots on the ground. They're really going to be here. And they're going to be the agents of this. So when the release of people, svadzo, slaughtering one another, that's biblical prophecy. Just like prophecy said John the Baptist is coming 6 months before, Jesus, and he'll be the forerunner. He came, boots on the ground. So prior to the coming of Christ, many things are going to occur. We're kind of bulging at the seams, but in the underworld, and currently going on, is the development for that day. It really has a development. And there will be, on a multi-continental level, multinational level, call it an activation. Revelation 6 just says when that's released, when that prophecy pictures a release, like an activation, then on a whole earth scale, anarchy that may include hundreds of millions dead in a short period of time.
Man.
That's biblical prophecy. That's not, I didn't make this up. I didn't research that. That's just the Red Horse prophecy that 99% of Christians have never even heard a sermon on.
Well, they kind of just did, just not so, in a sense, you know.
Okay.
I think, right? I mean, you're talking, when I say that, I'm not, people don't understand what's coming, I guess, right? I mean,
exactly my point, what I just said earlier about knowing prophecy. You and I, we are the believers when we're filled. Listen, I think that the biblical prophecy is light years ahead of the NSA, the CIA, DIA, DOD, on and on and on you go. It's not in their grid to look that way. That's why they're going to be shocked. They're not going to handle it. The nations are not going to handle this, because this is from the underworld. And biblical prophecy, the 500 and some that's already been fulfilled over the years, 100% literal, 100% accurate, infallible, indestructible, nobody can stop it. So when you read prophecy about the world getting worse and worse, wars and rumors of wars, Jesus said this, do we believe what Jesus said in Matthew 24? It'll be so bad, there's nothing in history that equates to it.
You know,
so we can't look at the Nazis and say it's going to be like the Nazis. No, it's going to be far worse than the Nazis.
Man, okay, and that's what troubles me sometimes is specifically Christians who believe in God refuse to really address this I'm just trying to be nice.
But the spiritual side of things, the spiritual battles, the
for whatever reason, Russ, it seems like
there's a disconnect.
We get pushback when we talk about this. We get a lot of pushback from Christians, especially from Christians saying, you're doing is needlessly talking about this and spreading this fear.
Yep,
and real Christians don't do that. That's kind of what we get, you know.
Yeah. And I'll answer from me. This is not you guys answering. This is for me answering. people that answer that way remind me of people who are ignorant of Scripture, and they are scarable. So they will label you fearmongers and me fearmonger because we're talking about biblical prophecy that Jesus... Do they believe in Jesus? Do they believe what he said in Matthew 24? Do they believe the Word of God as a whole? We have been given heads-up warning so that we can be prepared, and then we can look at the world and say, and they're all screaming, look how bad it's going, look how bad it, you know, there's even those, the global consciousness studies from Harvard and so forth, where the global consciousness studies, the global brain, global, you know what they're saying? The whole earth feels a catastrophic collapse coming, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's in the air. That's the spiritual side. They're feeling the vibes of the dark side's global grid mapped agenda that is being accomplished underground, that's being driven in a certain direction. There's no end of the world, end of days without Satan. There's no end of there's no counterfeit miracles without Satan. There's no cross, Christ coming, without the factors of Satan and him needing to be defeated.
Very good. Folks, we're up against our commercial break. Russ Dizdar is our guest. ShatterTheDarkness.net is the website. He also hosts the Ragged Edge Radio Live each and every weekday, 6 to 7 p.m.
Always
right
on
us,
our show.
On Global
we're
Star.
It's always on.
Yeah, right before we come on, Eric will throw it on and we can listen to it right here on Global Star Radio Network and his book, The Black Awakening. We'll be right back with our final segment with Russ Dizdar right after this. Stay with us.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. There
shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com.
Wow.
MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. It'll blow you away. Absolutely, Eric said.
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report family. MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow. It's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
New Year from all of us at Trading Post in the Woods.
We pray you have a healthy, safe, and prosperous 2017.
And we would like to thank all of you for welcoming us to the Hagman and Hagman family. You're all a very wonderful and special group of people.
Because we believe it is so important for you to work and acquire good health this year, we're going to do something that we've never done before as a thank you to you for your support. We're going to make something available that we believe everyone needs.
During the month of January, anyone who invests in their health by purchasing either our American Heritage Remedies Kit, our Survivalist Natural Remedies Kit, or $200 in individual remedies of your choice, we're going to give to you our crisis remedy, just in case, for free. Your health must be a part of your preparation plan. We're here to help you with that journey. May God bless y'all, and may God bless America.
Happy New Year!
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
Hey, welcome back to this edition, final segment, Hagman and Hagman Report. Russ Dizdar is our guest. ShatterTheDarkness.net. Man, I'm captivated by what Russ is saying, and you know, this is all too real. Many Christians don't want to confront this, whether it's out of fear or out of denial, regardless of their position. Many Christians, well, you don't talk about this in polite company. Well, you know, it's real. It's here. It's present. And one of the warriors on the front lines of this battle is Russ Dizdar. And by the way, he's going to be a speaker at Awaken to the Shaken Conference, May 5th and 6th. We're going to be there. Hey, you can't lose, right? With us. Just come in spite of us. In spite of Joe and I. It's free. But listen, you know, I love it when he gets up and speaks. It's just always, a learning. You know, I could listen to him all day long. It's a learning experience. And it's ammunition. To me, that's why I look at it, Joe. It's ammunition that we need to know. It's just amazing. Russ, where do you want to go from here? Because, there's so many avenues we can go. So many people wanting us to convey our thanks to you for your time and for this information. A lot of emails, you know, about the current situation. One email in particular, if you don't mind, if we can go back to one thing that you had said, we can address this and perhaps, because we got a couple of emails from people listening in Pennsylvania familiar with Kathleen Kane, or at least the case. Attorney General Kathleen Kane sentenced to 10 to 23 months in prison for, felony perjury charges, an array of misdemeanors that included official oppression, obstruction, and related conspiracy charges. However, this apparently stemmed, as you pointed out, from the revelation of the Penn State child sex abuse scandal. Mm-hmm. So, do you want to expand on that at all?
I'd love to.
Go ahead.
I'd love to. Well, yeah, because Kathleen Kane, she had assimilated quite a bit of information about underground pedophile rings all the way, you know, Sandusky, and broader than that. When she was kind of being shut down, she did illegally, it seems like, leak out the information, put it out there, which cost some judges and attorneys, I guess, their jobs, positions, things like that. And so again, I would say this, there are those that came against her from the political standpoint, but probably from that organized crime side, they came against her too. Now, this goes back to Guy Carr, the other local attorney general. We've been to the very spot that his car was found, the Susquehanna River, where his hard drive was thrown in. It was ruined. So who took him? He's never shown up since. He had more evidence. So when we talk about going after one individual, or one individual takes the heat for all the rest, that's one thing. But if you go after the power structure of the network, and I'll make this public on Hagman and Hagman. I sent some friends of mine, and you know about this, I think, a thing called Project Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. I've been into Pennsylvania 175 times probably in the last 25 years. So I'll just put it this way. There are teams, and there is a broad agenda commitment to go to every single city in Pennsylvania with major prayer and intercession over the city, linking the underground pedophile stuff that is also linked, and I'm just going to say, in my view of reading your book, stained by blood. When I read the perpetrators, when I read about the guys in robes and stuff like that that you write about, this is who I'm talking about. These individuals.
Right.
We were a week and a half ago face to face with one of them. And then lying in the hospital bed was the 82-year-old major perpetrator. So, no, and I won't go into the story about that, but
yeah, without breaking any confidences, is that the person that I'm thinking of? That
you're connected, yeah. But now we found another one.
Okay,
we're gonna add to that. We got lots to add up there to your stuff.
Wow.
And we need to talk about how broad, because will there be, like, we have now threats from just this last 2 weeks. The threats are one of our staff members who's been the primary person that has been in there giving their life to get this person out of this whole group. The declaration is they're going to shoot her. They're going to kill me. There's one other individual. They're going to kill them. So now there's threats among this, too. In Pennsylvania, I don't know if Guy Carr was threatened, but where is he? He had the information. So somebody, there's no question somebody took him out. There's no question about that at all. Notice, Sandusky. He's not squealing.
Right.
I think if he starts to squeal, he's gone instantly. He's gone.
Wow.
They're gonna take him out if he starts to squeal. So we're gonna do this big thing because we believe in the great state of Pennsylvania that I've been through. I have driven through your state. I love that state. I love the scenery. I love the little towns. Allentown, Altoona, Washington, Meadville. I can go on and on. Lancaster, Lititz, on and on and on, the places that I love there. But you had German internment camps. You had Nazis released in the 50s. You have one of the broadest underground satanic city to city, township to township, underground systems in the nation. Been there and growing since the 50s. There's not one city in PA that we haven't been to that doesn't have multiple cases of SRA, DID, and an active coven that all goes to the old, well, they call it the ancient brotherhood, the order. So PA, under the surface of the beautiful state, And there's a lot of Christians that know this now. I mean, there's more and more that know this. But we have a project, and I'm not going to state what the project is, other than it'll be probably a year long or longer in any big depth. I want to come through PA from church to church to church and do massive exposure revivalistic weekends. We'll see if this happens or not. That's what I want to do, PA.
Okay.
You mentioned that PA is one of the biggest hotbeds for this kind of activity. We saw some stats, about a week ago about Virginia. The number of missing kids in Virginia is four times that of the national average. Is that obviously connected to some of the stuff that we're seeing?
Absolutely. And we have, again, on the underground satanic ritual abuse, sometimes when they do catch it, law enforcement only deals with the pedophile or the sexual abuse side of it. So that's what they're going to deal with. Eliminate the... Do you remember down in Louisiana, the Pontotuning, there was a church, there were stories of a pentagram, satanic ritual, all the kids, and then all of a sudden, a couple weeks later, all of that paraphernalia was wiped out of the way.
Right.
Right. That's that principle that goes to the motivation of the crime, and that goes to the identification of others that are in the same group. I could give you five cases in PA about kids. I talked to one of the fathers this weekend, of a little girl, because of the same group that I'm talking about, had their programmed little abused girls invite the girl to come to the overnight for weekends. She was taken off with other girls to the wooded area, groups of men that your book would paint a picture of the exact same thing that we engage in the middle of Pennsylvania. And they brutalized her. She was demonized, everything else. She's doing well now. She's away. Threats of killing, but they're still there. It's ongoing. So that's part of the issue. Help the victims, but if you don't stop the ones that do it, and I'm going to say, it's time to risk our lives a little bit.
Yes.
It's okay. It's okay as a believer. If we get taken out early, it's okay. It really is. Maybe I'll announce this. Maybe I'll ask you, can we do a special program? We're going to announce the actual joining of a couple hundred people and 1,000 prayer warriors. And we're going to launch a 12-month program into PA. And, we're going to see what's going to happen.
We will proudly give you the floor for that anytime. And that's what you referenced earlier, correct? Just so I'm in my mind.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Right.
All right. All
right. Right.
And
right.
Okay. Now, having said all of that, in advance of that, and we're getting emails even as we speak right now, people wanting to know how best to help Russ Dizdar, how best to help your team. What can our audience, listening audience, do for you to advance your investigative efforts and your pushback against the evil that we face?
Well, I would say, without question, just hook into us with prayer and intercession. And if you really want to get involved in the sense of like this in Pennsylvania or whatever, we're going to do a three-tiered thing. We're going to seek overall to recruit about 10,000 prayer warriors on a general map. Then specifically for these cases, 1,000, 2,000. But then we're going to break it down into dozens that want to get involved on a personal level. And so I would say to them, and because of this show, you guys, let's think about here in the next couple of months, working on things, talking on things. I would love to recruit you boots on the ground to be helpers throughout Pennsylvania. So one thing they can do, Doug, is come to the meeting that you're going to be at, that I'm going to be at in May. And that when we launch the information to recruit larger prayer numbers, and we'll give you a prayer map over all of Pennsylvania. We'll give you a what to pray for over all of Pennsylvania, where we're going to start meeting in Pennsylvania and doing exposure and revivalistic type, outreach meetings. Then they can start coming to those and start helping. And then let's put a couple hundred boots on the ground.
Sounds good. And I know a lot of people will, as you said it, it's time to get in the game. I mean, it's time to,
Just a follow-up question to that. Aside from prayer, is there anything people who might not be mobile or able to put in the volunteer work physically or in person, is there anything they can do aside from prayer from home?
Well, I mean, they can go to our site. I mean, you can donate if you want to. I know that we have I'll talk about this later. I only will suggest it now because it's a huge issue. We'll talk about a safe house issue down the road. That'll be, something we need to raise funds for or whatever. But, we're not here to raise funds. Pray for us. Look at our site. Hundreds of hours of training free if you want it. And then if you hear us trying to call and recruit and come to meetings, come to the training. We'll do really good intensive training. But I mean, if there is somebody, and I just, if there's somebody that wants to help out, if they have the ability, if they want to donate something, that's fine. That's great. We'll accept that.
Gotcha. Even a, dare I say, a remote piece of property, perhaps, or anyway, yeah, whatever. That's, wow, it's amazing. Well, we've got about 12 minutes left. Russ, you've just an incredible amount of information. How do you want to wrap this up?
Because I got a question.
Oh,
if we can.
Okay, sure.
And we've been asking this question of our guests, and they've been much more in the political arena than the spiritual arena. But I think this is very important, especially in the spiritual arena. Well, we see the political divide in this country, and we see the amount of hate and anger. And more importantly, we're seeing this, you know, we know the media lies. We know that, there is a divide both in the deep state, as people call it, and in the civilian population among political and ideological lines. Is there something more spiritual in nature that is, rearing its ugly head that is causing the amount of deception? It seems like the truth is not even important anymore to either side a lot of the times, and that people are just buying into the deception that fits their ideology. Is there something more spiritual in nature going on?
Well, I believe that, again, biblical prophecy, you know, gives a picture of a broader confusion and upheaval as we move closer to those global events that are going to occur sooner or later. So we're going to see more of that anyway. And the violent side, that violent side is predicted. Now, I will say this too, that what we were seeing in this country in the last 8 years was, in my view, not socialism, charged globalism. I'll explain. Nazis came about by a ideology. They didn't exist prior. The Germans were there, and, well, Nazi ideology was spiritual revelation. Spiritual revelation that got turned into political ideology. I'm going to say that the push in the context of global ideology is supernaturally charged. That there is a satanic side to getting nations to embrace globalism, to embrace riddance of the nations. I believe George Soros, who I've read about getting up in the middle of the night out of just whatever, getting up like crazy, and then writing note, whatever comes to his head, he writes down, and what he's doing. I believe he's completely guided, directed in a dark way to do what he does. Because in a fallen world system, you know, God gives governments to give a good government, give freedom of the gospel, let things be good and they're commanded to do good, commission what is good, and bear the sword on evil. When that flips around and it's deception and the rest of it, well, then you've got, you've got leadership that opens the door to the dark side or helps close it. You have leadership that either sides with God per se, or they open the door, they spit in the face of God. And I believe the last 8 years prior to Mr. Trump was an administration that was embracing globalist ideology, that they were supernaturally guided, that they opened the door to spit in the face of God, thus opening the door to judgment even, and they were giving way to the enemy. They were bringing destruction. So right now there's a big pushback. But I noticed in those that are the most violent and showing the violence and showing the vulgarities, I mean, when you've got Wiccans and people, druids and Satanists and everybody like that gathering together and they want to get dark powers to go against, that's huge.
Indeed.
So, you know, I mean, my belief is that God has stepped in for a reprieve. We must take advantage. It's not going to hold forever.
Wow. The way you framed that makes perfect sense. I like that, charged globalism. I understand that.
Yeah. I mean, the Nazis did what they did because of what they believed, but their beliefs came from spiritual influence, and then they wrote, that's what developed political ideology that moved them. So what's happening with globalist ideology, I see it sinking with the very agenda that Satan himself wants. So it's luciferic, it's charged, it's supernaturally, demonically charged ideology, when people embrace it and, they want to believe it, then you see them standing and even arrogantly in the face of God.
And Russ, we had kind of, I guess we could take credit for this phrase. We were talking in previous programs, what we're seeing right now could be like a form of spiritual, definitely cultural, certainly moral, but spiritual whiplash, just as one would turn a car very quickly, perhaps, you know, because there was a turn made, unexpectedly, it seems like. Would you agree?
I would agree. I would say all of a sudden there is now a razor blade in the face. You've heard all Lindsay and all the other guys talk about how all the elitist globalists, they're angry. Mm-hmm. They think they've been set back 50 years. And in my observation, this has set them back. In my observation, you know, understanding, if I was to think like the Antichrist, you know, if think like the Antichrist for a second, does he like what just happened? Not even in the slightest. The opposition to globalism, no globalist flag, no globalist, you know, that kind of stuff. So no, this is a good reprieve, but here's, I'll just real quick tell you this. In historic revivals, when tens of thousands of people get saved at a time, thousands and thousands, there's a great sweeping in a nation like England, early days in America, and there's not this kind of riotous backlash. Here, there is a political reviving turnaround, but without the hearts of many folks that should, there's a need for a lot of hearts because they're aligning themselves. That's the scary thing to me. They're aligning themselves with an agenda that will ultimately be Psalm chapter 2. The peoples will take their stand against God and His Christ.
Ooh. Wow. Okay.
Psalm 2.
Psalm 2. Wow. All right. Well, I think you summarized that very succinctly and certainly drove it home. Russ, we're about at the end of the program, my friend. What a great time. A lot of information.
Do you have any shows that you've done recently or upcoming shows you want to promote? Any other appearances that you want to talk about?
I'll be on with Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer in the morning. We've been doing Tuesday mornings together a little bit. That's been kind of really neat, speaking to men. And we did brand new shows last week. It's all on my website, and I've got one tomorrow. So some new shows I've never done. I was on with Omega Man a week ago, and so that's out there too. But we list all of them, so if they go to Shatter the Darkness Ultimately, or if they go to my Facebook page, they will get every new show, every new thing coming. They'll get all of it.
Okay. Cool. Yep. Beautiful. All right. And of course, Awaken to the Shaken, May 5th and 6th, Russ Dizdar, along with us and Pastor Paul Begley. Can't wait for that. And yep. Russ, I guess I could do this over the air. I'll be talking to you.
Okay.
We'll be meeting for coffee or something.
Sounds good.
I'll be coming down there. But,
all right.
We're going to be praying for you and your wife and your team. He's got a great team, folks, and
absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
You're just a very gifted man and a very gracious man. And I just want to say thank you so much for all you've done, all you do.
Thank you, brother. Joe, Doug. Thank you. Bless.
Right. Thanks, Russ. Have a good night.
Good night,
folks. That was Russ Dizdar. My goodness, shatterthedarkness.net, and you know, the Black Awakening, his book, and all of the. We can spend hours. And mm-hmm. I think we probably have spent hours watching the videos, his videos.
One thing that we didn't open the show with that we have to talk about is Chris Putnam passed away.
Yes,
last week.
Yes,
and he was still pretty young,
51
and,
years old. And by the way, folks,
because we were getting emails, and people were asking.
Yeah, we don't know how he passed away. It was unexpected. It was sudden. We don't know, and. Out of respect for the family, we just don't know. So end of story. So don't ask us because we don't know. But he was a good friend of the program. He was on. In fact, I think he was.
He was on quite a few times by himself. He was on with Tom Horn a few times.
Yeah.
He was on with Tom Horn and Steve Quill, which is, I believe, what the episode that was posted on HagmanReport.com.
Look, we understand. Okay, on Facebook, on our Facebook page. His first name is C-R-I-S. We spelled his name correctly. In the headline, it was posted incorrectly with an H. Facebook picked it up. Okay, we apologize for that. But, it's correct in the article. You know, short of taking down that posting, I don't know what else to do. Just understand that it's correct in the article, just the headline is incorrect. So, I mean, we could take down the article and just, or take down the posting and, you know, I don't know.
And with
I guess I have somebody smarter than me fix that.
With the last few minutes we have left, do you want to tell people about the revamping of the Northeast Intelligence Network?
Yeah, very quickly, because I heard you do the open. A couple of things taking place, and I think people really need to know. HomelandSecurityUS.com, group of investigators, some new, I'm not going to get into the composition of the investigative team, but they're back. In the mandate is to look at all threats, foreign and domestic, including not just the Islamic threat to our country, but also the globalist threat, something that was missing when it was initially established back in 2002. The threat by the anarchists, by the Obama-type Alinsky people, by the threats from within. So that's, and I'll be populating HomelandSecurityUS.com with reports public to the public about what's taking place. As a matter of fact, two reports, over the last 2 days, more to follow. So keep your eyes on that. Hagman and, HagmanReport.com is the central point, however. That's the page for Joe and I and John Robertson, and that's the focal central point. With respect to one more thing, and I wanted to mention this. I did write an article, and you mentioned it earlier. It's on homelandsecurityus.com. It's about the wiretapping. It's about the FISA court.
Yeah, and I talked about that a little beginning of the show, but I didn't get too much into it.
This is a huge, huge, huge deal. This is perhaps one of the biggest stories, and I'll do a more intense report. If you go to CanadaFreePress.com, or if you go to HomelandSecurityUS.com, you can read the article, or go to CanadaFreePress.com, comment on the article and share it, because folks, and Joe, you mentioned it, you have, first of all, Obama, we have to be very careful of how we say things. Obama did not tap Donald Trump. Okay.
Right. You're not going to see Obama's, like, Barack Obama
sign off
on the warrant.
Right.
And Donald Trump, no. But, you know, it's something interesting. The Department of Homeland Security Secretary John Kelly said this afternoon that Donald Trump has compelling evidence.
Oh, of course.
Obama ordered wiretapping of home and offices of Donald Trump during the 2016 election cycle.
At 5:35 in the morning, 5:35 a.m. on Saturday morning, if you think that 140-character limited tweet was unfounded by any evidence, you're sadly and sorrowly mistaken.
And when I'm somebody pointed out this in a comment section, which is really interesting, they believe that the warrants were obtained under the Russian narrative that he
was
interfering.
Right,
so
two banks.
The continuation to push the Russian narrative in the news was purposeful, because they knew they had a certain amount of time before this would come out, which would try to justify a reason for them.
And there it is. SV Bank, Alpha Bank, server in the possession or in the orbit of Donald Trump.
Right, and if there was evidence, they would have definitely revealed it by now.
Absolutely.
But there was nothing to find. So I think we need to continue to look at the evidence, and we can't back off of what's been done here. It's unprecedented.
Very well said, and thanks for carrying the open of the program. But exactly right. That's a big deal, folks. American Spring, it's coming. It's going to be bumpy. Buckle up, saddle for battle, prepare spiritually, physically, mentally.
How would these people act if Obama was arrested or indicted?
I'm going to tell you, well, I don't think Obama will be, but you got some exposure with Department of Justice, and also at some of the appointees in the executive branch of the Obama regime. Watch. Something is coming very soon.
That'll do it for us. Until tomorrow, stay safe, God bless, have a great evening.